there is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic. It lives to kill. A mindless eating machine. It will attack and devour anything. It is as if God created the devil and gave him jaws. From the best-selling novel, Jaws. Rated PG. Maybe too intense for younger children.
What's going on, guys? I'm Alex. Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
It's the first time I ever remember being totally terrified in my life.
And with us, I just can't get this guy to stop swimming with bow-legged women. It's Cisco Kid.
Smile, you son of a bitch.
You can't guess. Judging by the trailer, judging by all of our funny bits at the top of the show, we are talking about the first summer blockbuster of all time. This week's Midnight Movie Club is Steven Spielberg's Jaws. Guys, I'm going to be real honest. This one, I did not have to revisit because I have seen this movie so many fucking times. I love this movie and I am so excited to talk about it. Cisco, before we get into the main conversation, what's your first memory of Jaws?
Oh my God. You know, man, I was older when I saw Jaws for the first time. I actually think I saw Orca for the first
before I saw Jaws movie too.
Yeah, I think I saw Orca on like UPN when I was like nine or something, you know, like a kid. And I remember being freaked out, and then as I got older, got to watch Jaws. But Jaws is a movie that I have a weird relationship with because I actually haven't seen it that many times from beginning to end. I know all of the stuff, you know, all of the quotes and all of them, you know, the memes and the scenes and all that kind of stuff, but I haven't really watched it from beginning to end in a really, really, really long time.
Oh yeah.
So I watched it today and holy fucking shit. You know, this is another interesting thing. Like I always hear people talk about Jaws, man. It's so fucking good. I love it. It's like one of my favorite horror movies. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. People say, you know, people have very high praise for it, and you know for good reason. But I was always just kind of like, yeah, you know, I liked it. It was cool, you know, whatever. Like it didn't really impress me. I don't know why today it really did connect with me in a different way. And watching it, I was just like, yeah, you know what? I've been wrong this whole time. It actually is a for real, straight up masterpiece. It's probably top three Spielberg movies of all time for me now.
You could probably, I mean, I would be willing to have the conversation that it's top 10, maybe even top five movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. And, 100%. And you know, that, I think if you, even not just as a movie, but when you take in the sort of whole lore of it, right? Like that definitely gives it a leg up on a lot of stuff. But yeah, that being said, man, there are just some things in this movie that I never noticed before that I noticed for the first time upon watching it this time. And I'm just like, it's perfect. It's a perfect movie.
In my screenwriting class, we were talking about Jaws was one of the like beat by beat breakdown things that we had to do in screenwriting or whatever. Like, what's the inciting incident? What's the theme? What's the this? What's the that? And sure. I forgot to do it. And I've seen this movie so many goddamn times. I did my homework from memory while sitting in the class 15 minutes before. Nice. And I, only reason why I remember it is I said, they were like, what did you think? This woman sat next to me and was like, what'd you think of Jaws? And I was like, oh yeah, that movie's fucking great. That's like a top fiver, maybe one of the best movies of all time. She went, that movie sucks.
What?
And I went, you shouldn't be in this class. And she started laughing. And then the teacher heard me say it. I was just joking. I wasn't serious. And then he was like, well, what'd you say? I said, I think Jaws is probably a top fiver. I would even hear the conversation for top three movies of all time. And she goes, I think it sucks. And the teacher just said, well, he's right. And then went to teaching the class. Steve, what about you? What's your first memory with Jaws?
Oh, it's weird. First memory. I can't remember the first time I saw it. I just know that, you know, first naked woman I feel like I saw on a screen. I was deathly afraid for years to swim in my backyard swimming pool at night.
Oh yeah, dude. All you know, water, all bodies, you know, of water are dangerous, you know, after you've seen Jaws.
Like it's you know, I say this often on this show, but it has been with me my entire life. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. My first Jaws I saw was Jaws 4, where she goes and gets revenge on the Jaws, when Brody's wife goes and gets revenge on the shark, like down in the Bahamas or whatever. And I saw it in Arizona. I was staying with my grandfather at the time, who I didn't really like see a lot. Him and my dad had a complicated relationship, so I never saw him. They were divorced from my grandma. And like, it was my first time kind of hanging out with him over the summer. And he knew that I liked movies, so he put on all the Jaws's. And I'd already seen Jaws 4, but we watched Jaws 1, Jaws 2, Jaws 3 into Jaws 4. And I was swimming in this retirement home community center pool by myself.
Straight up cocoon.
Straight up horrified of the, I wouldn't get in the pool. And he's like, get in the pool. I was like, Jaws. And he's like, are you joking? I was like, Jaws, man. I was like 5, maybe 6. I'm like, Jaws, you're fucking crazy if you think I'm getting in that water. He's like, it's a pool. There's no sharks in there. And I jumped in and all I could see is like, were you like me, Steve? I just saw the shark breaching from the water. Oh. I would always just see the shark breaching.
Right. Yeah. Oh. It's just.
Which one is the one where the shark, it attacks the underwater
the water park?
The water park.
3. That's Jaws 3.
3D,
Jaws,
right?
3D.
Yes. That's Jaws 3D. I'm pretty sure I saw that in theaters, actually.
Is that Dennis Quaid?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's Dennis Quaid.
Well, and that's the thing, is this is an exact franchise that is one of those ones that is classic in the sense that, like, you start watching it at such a young age that you're like, I got to watch the next one and the next one. And so you go
and
to
you
Michael
kinda
Caine
dig
one,
him as a kid.
And you dig him. Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, you don't really know that like these movies are terrible to everyone else around you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Jaws 2 is not awful.
That's the Michael Caine one, right?
Man, dude, it's funny. I don't even remember Jaws 2 as well as I remember, fucking Jaws 3 and Jaws 4. And to be honest with you, I've seen Jaws so many times that the other three have kind of like just bled away, no pun intended. I'm excited to talk about this movie because I think there's a lot to discuss here. With that being said, let's get into it. This week's Midnight Movie Club, it's not safe to go back in the water. Jaws. So I think for a lot of people, this is the first, if not one of the first, probably horror movies that a lot of people see. Because it's not like a super scary monster. In a way, it's more horrifying than any of those if you really think about it. And I think it probably cripples people a lot more, like fear paralyzes them more than like a Freddy or a Jason, because it's like, nah, man, that's a real fucking thing. Like those baddies are out there in the deep blue.
Nobody gets on a fucking boat and doesn't think of Jaws.
Nobody goes snorkeling in Hawaii and doesn't think about, there's no one ever, no normal human being gets into the ocean and doesn't for at least a half a second go, man, but fucking Jaws, dude, if you fucking showed up, I'm fucked.
Yeah. You want to hear a crazy story before we even dive into it? A number of years ago, we went to Hawaii with my family. It was like all of us together. Alana was a baby. She was maybe 2, I think, at the time. And one of the things that my parents love to do is parasailing. So we went parasailing, and Stacy and I went up on the parasail. So we're hanging out up there, chilling. And I looked down. Oh, we're like at the max. We're at the max height. Okay. I looked down and I see a giant shadow by the underneath us.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's a fucking shark. And I go, Stacy, look, that is a fucking shark. And then she's like, no, it's too big. It's gotta be a whale. And I'm like, no, no, no. It's not that big. But it's big enough for it to be a big shark. So, you know, whatever, we go on and we get into the boat. They dip us, you know, they do the whole nine. And then
are you freaking out with the dip?
No, because we had gotten far enough away from that area when they did it. But we get back on the boat and I'm like, yo, while we were up there, I saw a pretty big shadow. I think it's a shark. He's like, oh yeah, for sure, that was a shark. And I was like, dude, oh god damn it. That was such a big, big fucking shark, dude.
I'm trying to think of, I've seen
sharks when I've gone snorkeling for sure. Little ones.
Still, yeah.
I know great whites. I don't think they're in Hawaii because the water's too warm. They get tigers, and they might, I don't think they get bull sharks either, because bulls are now this is going to be like the little known thing that's going to kind of come up in this conversation. They're like, dude, fucking Alex knows a lot about sharks. I'm a huge shark nut. I'm fucking think sharks are rad. Because I loved the hockey team. It just like was a thing that I fucking.
Were you the right age when like Shark Week first started?
No, I didn't really get into Shark Week until I got older. Like Shark Week. Shark Week's fucking great. Don't get me wrong. I fuck with some Shark Week, but like, no, my real kind of entrance
basically
was
Richard Dreyfuss in this movie.
I'm Richard Dreyfuss. Like if we're all, yeah, I'm fucking Hooper, fucking Cisco's Brody, and you're fucking grumpy ass.
God damn it.
You're fucking
Quint.
You're fucking Quint.
Steve-O's Quint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a mean drunk all the time.
I think.
Right.
So, no, but the only reason why I bring it up is because I think that the impact of this movie is, it really can't be overstated. I mean, can you guys think of a movie that has stuck with you like this? Like, is there a movie that anytime you do something, you think about said movie, like getting in the ocean and Jaws? There isn't.
That's why this movie. That's why this movie
is like.
But that's why this movie. But that's why this movie was the hit that it was, that kicked off the model of a summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
And it's at the end of the day, when you boil it all down, it's precisely that, Alex, and it's the fact that everybody has that fear.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
This movie has had a direct effect on our oceans. This movie has literally been a direct cause of the hunting of sharks and the overfishing of our oceans. And it's fucking true. Like the guy who wrote and created Jaws and Spielberg, like they had to do whole press campaigns in like the 90s and the 2000s. They're like, you guys got to stop killing sharks. It's not real. Like you, they could bite you, but like what is it? Like there are 5 shark deaths a year or something. It's like, they don't do that. They don't do what they do in this movie, but this, it's so frightening.
Yeah.
This movie. And it's all because you can't see the terror, and what you can't see, you can't fight. What you can't, like, you're, it's another, like the way I could describe it is like, imagine it's an alien movie, but real, because
it's Michael Myers, but real.
Yeah. It's well, but like Michael Myers could be a human and could be a thing that's, you could have a psychopath. Like you could live in a weird city and there's a, you could live next to a freakazoid. You don't live in the ocean. None of us live in the fucking ocean. We don't belong there. We are not in, like, the only reason we go in there is because we got some floaty shit and we're going to go do some fun activities.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, there's no world where, like, you just walk into your life in the ocean. We don't fucking belong there. You know who belongs there? Fucking orcas and fucking dolphins and apex predators of those places. And what I love about this movie, yes, yeah, it's literally another planet you can walk into.
It's Jurassic Park.
Dude, it's Jurassic Park, but real.
Yeah.
It's Jurassic Park, but real. And Jaws is, that's why it's so fucking horrifying. Steve, you mentioned summer blockbusters. Why don't you talk just a little bit about the impact that this movie had on cinema when it came out?
Well, it essentially is the model for what would become, it is the first summer blockbuster. It's the first like movie that was pushed out into as many screens as it was. At the same time, it's one of the first movies to have the like marketing and like tie-ins and stuff that we always love, merchandising. It took over and captured the world, and then soon later in 77, Star Wars beat it at the box office and was the next summer blockbuster. And then it basically laid out the blueprint for how we get our movies now.
Totally.
It's a very important film. It's top. It has every right to be in the top 3 ever, just in terms of not only what it did successfully in sort of paving the way, but also what it did in terms of storytelling,
like
in the cinema,
like Godfather, Godfather 2, Casablanca, Wizard of Oz.
I almost think this is more important. I think that Wizard of Oz, yes, I think this is, I would almost say this is a much more important film than even The Godfather.
Whoa, those are big words coming out of Steve.
That is a really big thing for me to say.
You know, this is always an interesting debate to have, because this happens a lot with athletes, right, in sports too, right? It's like greatness is how it gets defined. But for me, one of the things that I always like to, because you can never measure eras with athletes, right? But one thing you can usually kind of measure pretty easily is like impact. Worldwide or universal impact, right? So like,
which is why Jordan will always be GOAT, because he's right. Just like, yeah,
athletes like transcends. That who transcend their sport or push a sport beyond a certain level, right? So like in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, it was Michael Magic and Larry Bird changed what basketball was to become another thing, and then Michael Jordan evolved it further than that, right? And so and then, you know, other players,
your Kobe's, your LeBron's, yeah.
Widen the audience worldwide, you know, they have an impact worldwide. So that kind of measuring stick is always an interesting one to talk about. And when you talk about movies, it's like a movie like Jaws that has a cultural impact, not just, you know, entertainment value, right, which it does have, but it also, like we've been talking about, it sets a benchmark for what future blockbusters would become. I mean, it kind of coins the term blockbuster in a way. And, you know, every movie that comes out every summer beyond that is sort of like following that model and trying to reinvent it or relive it in some way. So yeah, I mean, there is that argument to be made. And, you know, I think it's difficult to say like one is greater than the other, but you know, they all have a certain importance, and this one definitely does, you know, and just outside of the actual movie itself, but like what it's done to influence other movies of the same genre, right? Like people are always trying to capture that magic of like not seeing the thing that scares you.
Well, let's talk about, you hit on something interesting, Cisco, and I think this prompts a good sort of segue into talking about the movie, but I mean, let's talk about, is there a weak point? I mean, it's a perfect movie. The acting's incredible. The directing's incredible. The cinematography's incredible. For the time, the effects are fucking incredible. The music might be the best, most iconic movie score of all time next to Star Wars. Those are the two, like, that you would talk about.
I think the effects actually hold up too. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, because and that goes into the famous story about this, is that fucking shark never worked.
Right.
And what did they do? They didn't go, well, we got to stop everything. We got to halt, because if we can't get the shark doing super flips over the water, like, we have a whole scene. Like, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I'm really plugged into this movie, so I apologize, Steve, if I no. kind of like.
Dude, one of the first dates I ever took Amber to was a midnight viewing of one of the first times it screened, but the fucking shark is broken, or whatever the fuck that documentary was.
Yeah.
At the Los Feliz 3, and she fell right asleep. And I remember walking out of that going, God, she must think, who is this guy? And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. This is one of the most iconic behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, this is why you have Steven Spielberg. This is, I mean, it is like, if he fumbles here,
Getting off of it.
Yeah.
He tried getting off of it and didn't want it. And Universal exercised their fucking contract on his ass.
So what is so impressive and amazing about this movie is that the problems and the pressure cooker of making this movie created the movie.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't exist, and it's not good if it comes out the way it's intended to come out. Like, a great example is like that whole scene where like the boat, like they go, like the fucking shark teeth are like up on the window, and like the camera goes through it, and like the orca sailing away. That was supposed to be some crazy fucking thing where like Jaws attacks the dock and like ravages all the boats. And they were like, but the shark barely fucking opens its mouth. Like, it's not going to work. So what is,
and we're on the open ocean.
Yeah. And we're in the open ocean, and oh, it turns out salt water is not great on gears and mechanics and hydraulics. And so he comes up,
whatever it was made out of.
Yeah. He comes up with
where were the Mythbusters then?
Oh, well, the Mythbusters wouldn't even need to be a thing if it wasn't for this movie. I mean, really though, like, it sounds dumb, but it's like they created this, like, this giant, it's just everything about this movie is revolutionary. Let's talk about the acting. Let's go through chunk by chunk.
Okay. Before we even get into the serious conversation about acting, can I ask a question about the, the opening scene, the running down the beach and stripping as you're running, leaving your clothes haphazardly on the beach wherever you're running, like the
as one does text,
as one does as one does here. After a few, you know, few cocktails,
a few micheladas, you know,
by the bonfire or whatever, like that's just what happens, man. It's cinematic.
I was dying, it's cinematic laughing. I was dying laughing as they're like running and stripping, well, she's running and stripping, just throwing her clothes in the bushes, never to be found again. I guess she wasn't gonna need them, so it doesn't really matter.
Maybe she just knew.
She fucking knew. She was like, you know, it's a good idea jumping out in this fucking Cape Cod fucking water right in the middle of night, just swimming around naked. Acting from, and this is something that, like, it is in the, when we talk about like iconic blockbusters or stories that have kind of stood the test of time, there's like
a couple ingredients, and like maybe the main base ingredients is the fucking actors, because they're the characters. Yeah. They're why we care. And everybody from start to finish is so great in this movie. Do you guys have a favorite character? Steve, do you have one?
Oh man, it shifted over the years, right? It's funny. I always loved Hooper. Like, I just, the moment he showed up when I was a kid, I was like, I love this fucking guy. I love his attitude. I love everything about it. And as I've gotten older, it's like, I can't believe how good Roy Schneider is.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Dude,
it's, I thought about this today. He's the first like on-screen dad that like had an impact on me.
Interesting. Interesting.
That I can remember.
So. He's great. He's great in the movie. Obviously, you can't. This movie does not have the fucking cojones without fucking Quint.
Yeah, Robert.
I mean, he brings Robert the cojones.
Yeah. He's my favorite performance in the movie.
Oh,
they're all
gosh.
Great. All three main characters are all amazing. But holy shit, man! When he is firing, he's just, and like the stories about him on set are nuts, which are just like makes it that much better. But man, he's great.
Well, he wrote the USS Indianapolis scene.
Oh, it's so hotly contested. The whole story behind that.
Yeah, I think he did.
I think at the end of the day that, you know, I think it was a Demme, you know, it was like we had the original writer, then Demme, and then Shaw went and did his thing with what was there. I don't know.
Either way, that scene was not in the original script.
No. Well, that's the other thing about this is like that shit was being written the night before.
Yeah, because they couldn't make what was in the script. The movie is a movie on the fly. I think side characters, that's great. There's one line that always sticks out to me, and it's when they're cutting open the shark that they catch for the first time, and he's like, what kind of shark is it? Blah, 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 and all the locals are talking, and he goes,
what shark is it?
I don't know. I think it's from a cove.
Got a deep throat, Pratt.
Yeah, well, but what kind? What kind of shark?
It's a tiger shark.
A what?
A what?
Oh, the guy goes,
a what? That guy steals the whole fucking movie. A what? Steve, I know you're going to go, if you remember, edit in the guy going,
I will.
A what?
I
right
will.
Here, because really that shit lights out. The guy steals the fucking movie. Let's talk about music.
Yeah, man. I think it's got all the, it's, you know, it's great because I'm watching this now with the entire Spielberg library that I've watched during my entire life, and hearing all the similarities to, like, you know, so like the movie's got the ominous stuff, right? Like obviously mm-hmm. that the classic.
Obviously the dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. But then it's also got these like really sort of like almost happy, carefree
the
tones.
Stuff.
The fluty stuff.
Fluty
that's all stuff. Very like Hook.
Very Hook.
Yeah.
But it's happening very in like indie. A moment where like something really bad's about to happen, which is really cool. So, I mean, it's just, it's got all of these signatures, these Spielberg signatures that I love. And, you know, obviously all of the angles that he's famous for. And, but the music is, I mean, it's just John Williams doing great John Williams stuff.
From what I remember of the story is the first time John showed it to him, Spielberg hated it. Uh-huh. He's like, what? That's it? Two notes? Like, he wasn't impressed. And then he saw it in the movie and he was like, ah, this motherfucker. Like, he knew it. He knew it instantly. Like, yeah, of course. Dun it. Dun it. Dun it. I mean, is there a more satirized or quoted piece of music from movies ever? There isn't, right?
No.
Everybody can play it.
Everybody, and everybody knows what it means.
So I had a teacher in high school. He was kind of a nerdy guy. He's my English teacher. And in the office, or in the classroom, there's this big podium, big wooden podium, right? And he would do the Jaws theme with the podium by just moving it back and forth on the linoleum.
Ha ha ha.
Da da And he would do it in the middle of class just to mess with us.
That's awesome.
So yeah, there's nothing more. If you've never seen Jaws in your entire life, you know that.
Yeah, you're right.
As soon as you hear it, you know it.
You're right. You sell the shit. When you come down here, trash shoveling some of this. Darn it. Yeah, it is. The music is obviously like next level. It always kind of boggles my mind when I watch the movie, just how effective it is in building stress and tension. And I think that kind of comes to the next topic, which is, I mean, this is it, right? Like, this is the emergence of Spielberg. This is it. Like, is there a better, like, it's not his debut, right? We know it's technically not his debut, but let's call it his debut in the way that, like, American Graffiti is not George Lucas's debut, Star Wars is, or is there a better first movie from a director than Jaws? There's a lot of good first movies from directors. Like, you know, you could make the argument that Pulp Fiction is kind of Tarantino's first big thing. Well, but I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's better than Jaws.
This is his breakthrough.
In the same way that Pulp Fiction is for Quentin Tarantino as well.
Right. It's his breakthrough.
What was his theatrical movie before this?
He got known for Duel, which was the...
That's a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, which was the made-for-TV movie. And then he did the... I just was researching it, like, not too long ago. Why am I slipping on the name here? One second. I'll edit this out.
Because I feel like it goes Duel and then it goes Jaws. If I'm not mistaken, because Duel and Jaws are kind of similar things. So it would make sense why he would jump from like ominous truck that chases you around to
Sugarland Express.
Sugarland Express. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I forgot that one. Yes. So yeah, I guess that's like his American Graffiti. It's like his proof that he can do it. He could do like the Hollywood movie.
But as far as arrival movies are concerned, it's hard to make an argument that there's a bigger one because of all the things we've already said about the movie, right? In, you know, the how it became this phenomenon, even then, you know, when it came out, it wasn't just like now we have all of this context, this historical context that we can attribute to it. But even then, when people didn't know what it was and it came out, it was a smash, right? So it wasn't like, oh, it took a while for people to catch on. It was like, it was a hit immediately. And
well, like you said, Star Wars isn't Star Wars without Jaws, right? Yeah. Like it is the first of, I guess, modern popcorn culture, if you want to call that a thing. Like when movies went from being for people who love movies to cultural touchstones that, like, if you want to be in the zeitgeist, you got to go to the movie theater and you got to see this thing so that you can be a part of the conversation. And Spielberg does that with Jaws. Are there any particular moments, Steve, that where his directing really stands out to you?
You know, what's funny is the scene when I think of Jaws, I don't think of the shark. Obviously, you know, one of the top three scenes or shots ever to happen is the get out of the water.
Vertigo shot on the beach.
The vertigo shot on the beach is just, I mean, that's just, you want to talk about iconic. But for me, always since I was a little boy, for some reason, the scene between him and his little son at the breakfast table.
The faces.
And the faces and the miming of that. That's a scene that for whatever reason has just stuck with me my whole life. And when I think of Jaws, that's the first thing I think of.
I think it was another product of the shark wasn't working and they had a whole night shoot that they needed to fill. So the kid was making some faces with Roy and Spielberg captured it. I'm pretty sure that's another one of those moments. The moment that always gets me, obviously, besides the USS Indianapolis scene, is probably my favorite scene in any movie. It's my favorite. It's just fucking amazing. I recreated it with puppets because it's so fucking important to me. I absolutely fucking love when he's shoveling the chum and he's like, slow ahead. I'll show you slow ahead. Why don't you come try shoveling some of this shit? And the shark jumps out every time. I'm like, yo, it's so good.
And
it's fucking horrifying.
And it's so, it's so well directed, you know, because it's not, nothing gets overdone in that scene, right?
No.
Like, because it very easily could have been like, holy shit. And he freaks out and he's screaming around, running around the boat and all, you know, like that's what like would happen in Jaws 2 probably. Right. Yeah. But like here, he's so measured. He's so contained and he's just like shook as you would be. Right. So yeah, man, that's beautiful. My favorite scene, hands down, Quint's death.
Honestly, brutal.
I think Quint's death is probably the best death in any movie of all time.
It's pretty fucking good, dude.
I can't think of a better one. After what I was watching it tonight, and I was like, I can't think of a better death of a character in any movie I've ever seen. Like, it's just so good.
And it's so poetic.
Yeah.
And it serves the theme and the story of the movie. It's not just a guy dying. It's this guy who, like, has a death wish to get eaten by a shark. Like, he's like, if I'm going out, it's fucking in one of their mouths. Cause like, but until then, I'm taking all these motherfuckers with me. Like, oh my God, the fucking hand on the chalkboard.
Y'all know me, know how I earn a living. I'll catch this bird for you, but it ain't gonna be easy. It's bad fish. Not like going down the pond chasing bluegills or tommy cats. This shark, swallow you whole. A little shaking, a little tenderizing. Down you go. And we gotta do it quick. That'll bring back the tourists. That'll put all your businesses on a paying basis. But it's not going to be pleasant. I value my neck a lot more than $3,000, Chief. I'll fine him for $3,000, but I'll catch him and kill him for $10,000. And you got to make up your minds. You want to stay alive and ante up? You want to play it cheap? Be on welfare the whole winter. I don't want no volunteers. I don't want no mates. There's too many captains on this island. $10,000 for me by myself. For that, you get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing.
I'll catch the beast for you. And you're like, who's this fucking guy? They all got to turn around. Like, we don't know this fella. He like drove in from fucking, he probably swam there with a fucking knife in his hand.
He's just like, okay, Quint. Yeah, okay. Mayor is like totally just doesn't know what to say.
Yeah, I agree. You're right, Cisco. Like that is one of those moments that's like super heartbreaking. Like I remember as a kid, I was always almost kind of mad and sad that he died because he's such a cool character. But now as an adult, you're like, oh no. I mean, it's such poetic justice because you know how many sharks has this guy killed. He's been haunted by the death of his friends, all of his fellow soldiers being eaten alive in the water, just waiting to survive the night in the cold Pacific Ocean. And you could hear him screaming as the sharks came to eat them. Yeah. And like that story, and then having that moment where he kind of looks down at the shark and he's like, this is it. Like, it's done. I'm going out. Just like, hearing the screams in the water. And I think he gets a couple good stabs on him. Oh, like yeah, he's trying, but you're just like, nah, man, it's fucking done. And when that shark pulls him in, you're almost like, oh, it's over. Like the shark, the movie could end right there, but they give you this triumphant, the thing goes into the fucking mouth. He fucking climbs up. I will say, if you had to give one fault to the movie, it's not a bad thing. Do you guys know what I'm going to say? It's when they like, he bumps into the oxygen and Hooper's like, hey man, hey, 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 whoa, whoa. Don't bump into those. Those will explode. Like right, he makes it like, it's a little like, obviously this is one of the first times that a movie really is like doing that, like starting to really plant the seeds in an action movie. Like, that maybe it's a 99.9 out of 100. Like I might kind of knock it there, but I'm with you, Cisco. That death of Quint is like just absolutely fucking masterful. Let's talk about some standout scenes. We've talked about favorites. I know there's a lot in this. Is there anything we haven't talked about yet, Steve, that is jamming on you?
Oh God, any scene with the mayor. Like I don't.
I was
know,
about to say. I
like
love
any scene with him.
I love the scene, but I love the scene where Hooper and Chief are trying to convince him to shut down the beaches.
Oh
yeah,
And Hooper's like going off on him.
Look, we depend on the summer people here for our very lives.
You are not going to have a summer unless you deal with this problem. We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark. I mean, we're going to have to tell the Coast Guard.
Mr. Gorman,
we're
going to have to contact the shark
research panel. We're going to have to put extra deputies on because you're going to have to ring the entire harbor.
I don't think one of you are familiar with our problems.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass. Now, wait a second. There are two ways to deal with this problem. You're either going to kill this animal, or you're gonna cut off its food supply.
Larry, we have to close the beaches. Brody, sick vandalism. That is a deliberate mutilation of a public service message. Now, I want those little paint-happy bastards caught and hung up by their Buster Browns.
That's it. Goodbye. I'm not gonna waste my time arguing with a man who's lining up to be a hot lunch. I'm gonna see you later.
Please don't do this.
He's not there.
This guy wants to be a hot lunch.
Yeah. It has one of my favorite walk and talks. Like in the very beginning when they're like walking and talking and he's like grabbing the signs, he's like, put these up around the beach. And he's like doing the whole thing. And like, you're kind of getting a feel for how small the town is. And he's just kind of like walking around. He's like, what happened? They like go blah, 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 blah. And they get in and they see the body. And the guy's like, we got to fucking close these beaches. Like, nah, man, we're not fucking around with this thing.
Yeah, Hooper's just like, this wasn't no propeller.
Yeah. That was bitten by a shark 10 feet wide. Like he like breaks it all down and you're like, oh man, this is going to be crazy.
Like hands down. One of my top like, oh shit moments ever in a movie is when the barrel pops back up.
Mm-hmm. That okay.
When that barrel pops back up, I just go, oh when, shit.
Are you talking about when they're doing the Indianapolis scene, right? And then they cut to the out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you see the blink?
Yes.
Yeah, the blinking and then
and it's headed towards the boat.
Yes.
That there's a very that's such a brilliant choice. Because it's like, yeah, but like you don't know when sharks are there and how we don't want to ruin the impact of the fin every time. What can we do? Well, how about they shoot them with these barrels that try to slow them down, which may be what they would do. I don't know. I don't know if that was invented for the sake of this movie, but like that barrel. So you have this presence and you don't need to see the shark. All you need to see is fucking this yellow barrel like. Like just like coming at you and you're like, well, I know that like 15 feet in front of that thing is this fucking seriously giant shark that's about to eat me up. Like, oh man. I'm trying to think of any other like rock star scenes. Obviously Smile, You Son of a Bitch. Every time I see it in the theater, the place just goes absolutely fucking ballistic. When the shark blows up,
the shark is destroying the cage is pretty great.
Oh, all of the like all of the like underwater stuff fucking terrifies me in this movie.
But even the nighttime stuff when Hooper puts on the scuba gear and goes down and like that, it's just like, ah, motherfucker.
Yeah. When the eyeball with the little squid, like the little like eyeball floating.
Yeah.
So that was shot in Marsha Lucas's swimming pool.
Of course.
Yeah. So they were like, cause she edited it, right? Marsha Lucas. I think she did. I could be wrong. Let me look it up real quick.
No, Vernon Fields.
Okay, so, but I think it might be Marsha Lucas. It's either Marsha Lucas's swimming pool or the editor's swimming pool. And they were watching the movie back and they're like, this is boring, man. We need something. So the production designer came over, put the little boat in the pool. They went under there with an underwater camera. The head popped out.
She was a co-editor on Jaws.
So I think it's her pool. And they went in and they were like, we need something. Cause this is not, we're building tension to no release anytime you go in the water. And that was the scare that kind of comes out of it. And again, like more just what does the story need? How can we serve the pacing, the tension? It almost feels silly to talk about Jaws as if like anything else needs to be said about it. But I'm excited to just be talking about this masterpiece. I'm surprised, Cisco. I didn't realize that this wasn't like until this viewing, this wasn't a movie that like was on your radar constantly.
Yeah, no, it was just, it's one that I've always been like, yeah, I get it. It's Jaws, you know, that's basically always been my sort of,
I mean, it makes sense because like how many like shitty iterations of this movie have been made that have almost diluted it in a way. Yeah. Like,
and I probably just never really took the time to actually give it its sort of just due, right?
Yeah, like it's appreciation. You know what that movie was for me, man? Was Goodfellas. It was good. I liked it. Bunch of kooky mobsters having a kooky adventure.
Right, and then
I watched it like a month ago. I was like, no, this movie's incredible. This is a very, very, very good movie. Like, give it its just due. Give it its snaps. What was that shitty alligator one that came out like last year? Like,
oh, the what is it? The Shallows or
The Crawl or something? Like
I don't
that,
know.
Or?
I watched it. Amber and I are suckers. See, but that's the thing I want to get clear here is there's Jaws, and then there's another category over here that unfortunately they always sort of get like oh, it's just not as good as Jaws, and it's like you can't compare the Piranha 3Ds and the more wacky, crazy kind of schlocky version of Jaws. Like Jaws is its own thing. Like,
well, it's like saying that, you know, Valerian City of a Thousand Planets is Star Wars. It's like, nah, man, just stop. Like, stop. Yeah, just it's stop. Not, it's not, it's never going to be, it isn't right. That like Jaws didn't win Best Picture, did it?
No.
I'm sure it lost to something that is not as good as Jaws. I guarantee it lost to something called like Roses in the Moonlight or some stupid shit. Watch.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, guarantee it. Roses in the Moonlight, directed by
it won.
Directed
it
by
won.
Dutch Cornelius.
It won what you would imagine it would have won for: best sound, best film editing, and best original dramatic score. It was up for best picture, however, it did not win. The best picture of 1975 is being plugged into my time machine here, real quick. And by.
Oh, wait, no, never
Godfather
mind.
Godfather Part 2?
Okay, I'm wrong.
By Francis Rose's Coppola.
Okay, I'm wrong. That's a tough year. They made the right call.
All right, Academy. You get a pass for that one.
You get a pass. Guarantee you. Let's look up what won in 1974, though, just so I can have
I think Godfather.
The Sting,
which you wouldn't have gotten Robert Shaw in Jaws if it wasn't for The Sting, because he was in that, and the same producer Zanuck and whatnot were the producers on that, and they brought him in and they only brought him and fucking Dreyfus in like 9-10 days before they started filming. They had a hard time casting it.
Actually, man, I'm pretty wrong about I'm pretty wrong about the 70s. They get that shit pretty right. The 70s, I just looked it up. It's like the only one that was kind of weird was The Sting, but it's like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Godfather, Godfather 2, Rocky.
Damn, Coppola was nominated for 2 films for Best Picture in 75. That's crazy. Godfather Part 2 and The Conversation. Robert Evans was nominated for Chinatown. You had The Towering Inferno, and then you had Lenny.
He wasn't nominated for Best Director for Jaws?
I looked up Best Picture nominees. Best Director nominees.
He better have been nominated and not Coppola twice.
John Cassavetes for A Woman Under the Influence.
That's your Rose's movie.
Francis Ford Coppola for The Godfather Part 2. Roman Polanski for Chinatown. Bob Fosse for Lenny. And Francois Truffaut for Day for Night.
So director category is where they got it wrong.
Yeah.
That he should have been nominated for a director. No question. Yeah. I won't hear it. I don't care how great Bob Fosse is. I don't care what jazz hands fucking Bob Fosse invented for that movie.
No, it was on the comedian Lenny Bruce.
Can we go back and take Roman Polanski's nomination away from him and give it to Steven Spielberg? I feel like yeah, but I feel like the culture would still be pro this decision. I feel like we know Polanski don't pass no 2020 sniff test.
Boo this man.
What's he going to do? Fly back to the United States and contest it?
He didn't pass the sniff test when he won the Academy Award. So
True.
Holy shit.
Academy don't give a shit about that. So
no,
so
that's a good decade of movies, man. Holy shit.
Do you guys have some schlocky sort of movies that are in the vein of Jaws that don't live up to Jaws, but that are some that you love?
I love Deep Blue Sea.
Oh yeah.
Deepest bluest, my hat is like a shark's fin. I've had multiple jokes in multiple things that I've written that are
referenced. What's the Blake Lively one? That one
was good. That one's The Shallows.
Yeah, that's not
The
bad.
Shallows.
That one was good tension building.
Yeah.
The ending
was kind of dumb. That I will say that the ending. I enjoyed most of it, and then the ending I was like, get the fuck out of here. All right, yeah, relax.
They usually are.
Let's keep it a little bit. See, like, I can kind of see the ending of Jaws, though. The ending of Jaws doesn't seem ridiculous, right?
These movies are all so ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, The Meg is just the Fast and the Furious of Jaws.
Yeah, sure. Well, sure. The thing about Jaws 2 is, like, not Jaws 2, Jaws as well, is the ending is like a release of tension.
Right.
Yeah. You allow it because it's like you just watched one of three main characters get absolutely just eviscerated in half. And you're like, man, you're not going to kill Brody. And then Brody does what Brody, a cop, would do, is he like shoots the motherfucker and blows him up. Like it's earned because you're just like, A, he's super afraid of the water and the ocean, and he needs to conquer the like unknown fear of it.
By the way, how great is that? How great is it that he's the sheriff of a beach town surrounded by water? He's afraid of water. It's just, it's perfect.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Can we talk about homages real quick?
Yes.
Sure.
All right. So obviously the tank in the mouth is just like iconic, right? But Resident Evil 2 has probably the best homage to that scene of all time, which is when you're fighting the giant alligator in the sewer and you have to get the thing in its mouth and then shoot it and blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so great. Like, you know, obviously, you know, if you're going to reference that scene, it's got to be cool. It's got to be, you know, a little bit interesting and different, but still as satisfying. And man, you being able to be the person that does it is just so wonderful. And I remember being like blown away by that back when, you know, PlayStation 1, I think, or maybe it was 2, being able to play that game and loving it. But then the other homage that, like, obviously I think I saw this actually after I saw Lethal Weapon. No, I had to see this before. But the Lethal Weapon, Scar's comparing scene with
Mel
Gibson and Rene Russo.
Yep.
You know, it's just so great, right? Like, that's just a beautiful homage to this too.
Is there a sunken orca in Finding Nemo? I know the shark's name is Bruce, which is the pet name of the animatronic shark in Jaws.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there a sunken orca? I'm trying to remember if there's... I think there might be an orca in a Disney movie, like in the water, if you like, in like Australia or something. If you look, there's like an orca in the dock or something.
Oh, interesting.
Does the movie Orca, does the movie Orca take place in the same continuity or the same universe as the Jaws universe?
I don't know.
I bet you Universal's working on that right now.
Orca scared the shit out of me, dude.
Oh, that movie was terrifying.
It's like basically the same movie, right? It's basically Jaws. I think the ending even happens the same way. Like the killer whale destroys the boat and like comes on it and shit.
Oh, get this. Apparently, the Jaws orca was built to resemble an actual orca for the film adaptation. However, it was sold to a crew person who worked on the film. He then sold it back again to Universal Studios after he complained that the boat was possibly haunted or cursed by flying luminescent ghost sharks.
Stop it. God bless the 70s were wild, man.
God bless the fucking internet, man.
God bless cocaine. God bless cocaine. And fucking
mushrooms and acid.
Mushrooms and acid. And
freely in the 70s.
boy, that took that to a whole other level. Like, it's cursed by orca, flying sharks.
I didn't realize it. Orca came out in 77. And Jaws came out in 75, so clearly this was done in regards to the success of Jaws, right?
I mean, yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, duh. Yeah. I mean, any of these movies is done in an attempt to recreate the magic of Jaws.
I want to go watch Orca now.
You should watch Jaws 4, The Revenge, where they go down to the Bahamas and she's got to get revenge on the shark for torturing their family.
Yes, that's the one with Michael Caine.
Yes, that's Michael Caine.
Yes, that's the one with Michael and Mario Van Peebles.
Why do we got to go down here and fight this shark? Like, that's a terrible Michael Caine. That's a horrible Michael Caine. Oh, man.
Master Bruce.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm trying to think of... yeah, there's definitely an orca in one of these movies, a really popular movie where like the orca is in the dock or orca is like sailing
away. One.
Yeah, I mean, I think he took all of his Spielberg references out of Ready Player One, except for the T-Rex.
He did.
The T-Rex is the only one.
Is there a reference to it in the submarine ride or something, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. Either way. Also, by the way, have you guys ever done the Jaws ride at Universal Orlando?
No.
Before they closed it?
What's different between that and just the tour with the
shark? It's a full ride. It's a full ride.
Really?
It's like a Pirates of the Caribbean boat ride.
No.
We're like, yeah, dude.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is Jaws chasing you?
Yeah, the whole time.
Nice.
You're on a boat and like you show up there and then there's like drops and it's like an outdoor Pirates of the Caribbean, but there's an indoor part too, like a tunnel that you go into and Jaws attacks like multiple times.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Horrifying as a kid. Horrifying as a child. You're like, I remember being like, I hate this when I was like 8 years old. I was like, get me off this fucking boat. It was horrifying. You weren't scared
enough by the movie already. Here's this ride that's going to scare the shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you watching YouTube's videos of it right now, Steve?
I'm just, I'm like absolutely baffled that it was an actual thing like that.
Yeah.
That it was a 6-minute boat ride.
Yeah. Come on, man.
What?
Get with it.
I've never been to the Universal in Florida.
It's way better. Universal in Florida is amazing. It's really good. It's really cool. Yeah, man, it's closed now. It doesn't exist anymore.
Bring back the Backdraft. Bring back Back to the Future and bring back the Jaws ride, you bastards.
And E.T.
Well, the thing that I always remember, and Amber and I talk about this all the time, is that the opening of when you'd put on a Universal movie and they'd play the the Universal Studios Hollywood thing with King Kong on the
The
bridge and whatnot. And then I remember being so disappointed when I came to LA and it was like, that was not what I saw.
Oh yeah. Well, no, man, you're on a big giant tram and they put you in a big room and this King Kong is like, wah, and they kind of wiggle you around. I mean, it was like scary though. Like I love the Jaws portion of the studio backlot tour. It's so funny and silly, but yeah man, the ride in Florida. Woo, baby.
Was it 3D? It was 3D too, right? Was it called, was it a 3D ride or no?
No.
It was
3D.
It was literally just like a Pirates of the Caribbean boat ride through Amity, and he attacks the Jaws shark attacks, which by the way, I believe is a girl. Jaws is a female, I believe, is in the lore, but I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Any final thoughts, Cisco, on Jaws as we start to wrap up?
And if you haven't seen Jaws ever or in a very long time, do yourself a favor, pop that shit in, watch it, buy it, do whatever you gotta do. But man, it is just as good as advertised.
What about you, Steve-O? Any last words on Jaws?
Just that I think we're gonna need a bigger boat.
We're gonna need a bigger boat, right?
Yeah. We're gonna need a bigger audience, right? Bigger show, bigger anything. This is a great way to start summer blockbusters. We've got a lot of fun movies to talk about, but we had to start with Jaws. It did not make sense to not talk about Jaws. With that being said, guys, super, super stoked to get into summer blockbusters with you guys. I'm exhausted, but there's a part of me that wants to get fucking zooted and go watch some Jaws right about now because I love me some Jaws. With that being said, guys, we'll see you next time on BSR. Later.
What's up, guys? I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with little baby shit like that.